Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo, I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, Knicks fans, what's good? I am Josh So Focused.
I'm French the Bro Host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 82.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check us out on our website, KnicksTake.com.
Lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
And now the show. What's going on with you this week, French? How have you been? Non-Knicks related.
I was about to say the Knicks.
Anything interesting happening to you recently?
No.
Last week, you recorded a podcast by yourself.
Filled in for me. I enjoyed the weather a little bit more this week, too.
Okay.
You know, it was 60 and then it went back to winter for like a week. Right. It was freezing outside. It went back down to like 14 degrees to start the morning off. You know, I didn't like that. But, you know, when the Knicks is winning, we winning. So I had a real great week. How was your week?
Well, obviously, started off with me being sick.
Yeah.
And that continued for the majority of the week. And then also accidentally slept wrong and had some pain.
In your back again?
In my neck.
Oh, in your neck this time?
Right. So had a pain in the neck this week. That wasn't named French.
Or Victor.
And, you know, so it was that kind of week. I'm not 100% fully healthy, but, you know, I'm good enough to record, so.
You look and sound like it, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I want to say psych so bad.
I bet you did.
But.
You're my biggest hater. Anyway.
This week, I did catch on to some new good shows.
Oh, like what?
All right, so boom, right? Old shows, but they are new and still fire. I seen Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. You seen that?
Nope.
That show is fire. I also been watching BMF. Everyone probably been watching that.
Probably.
But. Those two shows have been basically taking up on my free time.
You started watching Griselda yet?
I started watching it, but I'm kind of like done with the drug shows for right now. I don't know. I can't get into it no more.
All right.
But it's all the same story.
Okay. Well, speaking of stories, we have we got some stories that we're going to be talking about later on in this episode, specifically the Knicks story as it comes to the end of the regular season. We're going to try and figure out where we think or expect that they'll finish off the season.
Yeah.
And then we're, you know, also as we usually do every week, we are going to go over the results of this past week where the Knicks played against the Pistons, the Raptors, the San Antonio Spurs, and we'll preview the upcoming games starting with today's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But first off, let's get back to our first game where we played.
On March 25th? At 7:30 at MSG?
Correct.
The Detroit Pistons came to face off against the Knicks. They were missing four or five of their regular rotation guys. Cade was out. Jalen Duren was out. Simone Fontecchio, I believe you say his name that way. Mm-hmm. He was out as well. Grimes was out with injury, so.
Grimes is out for the season.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yes, lingering muscle soreness in his knee. That started off in January, which means that it started before the trade. So we can't use this Grimes' play post-trade against him and the Alec Burks.
Yes, we can. Knicks knew that Grimes was hurt, so that's why they traded him. But We're going to talk about this trade again, most likely this episode, but
it would only be in for this game because we don't need to talk about it after that. But go ahead.
Grimes was out. The Knicks started off hot. Didn't ever really cool off. They started the game off on a 29-8 run. Dante DiVincenzo was not missing the entire game. He was hitting three after three. They took a three away from him in the second half, and he still ended up with a three-point record. He hit 11 threes this game. Josh Hart had another triple-double. This was just a wire-to-wire victory. There was no really, like, competitive aspect to this game because the Knicks just ran amok on Detroit to the point where the coach was complaining after the game, talking about he didn't want to be a part of the guys chasing stats like that. And Josh Hart after the game was saying, if you didn't want to be a part of that, you should have told you guys to play some defense. So the Knicks win this game 124-99. Wasn't much to take away from this game, in my opinion. What were your thoughts?
Head coach Monty Williams, who you were referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's up with him, because this is the second time he's complaining about a Knicks game.
Yep.
First one being that one that I said that the Pistons probably should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And then this game. This one, it just seemed like a lot of whining. Dante DiVincenzo was scorching them the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you could complain about his last two threes that he scored when the game was when the Knicks were up by 30 plus. But that was just whining to me. Like if they would have counted that first three and then he would have hit one of those last two threes, he still would have had 11. So I don't see the point in him complaining about it. I completely agree with Josh Hart.
Once you get close to the record, you got to go for it. It don't matter what point of the game it is. Like, if you won three away from getting the record for your team that you're on, you got to go for it. It don't matter if you up 30, 40 points. You got to go for it. So
yeah, it's not like he played the entire fourth quarter. Like, they pulled him out after he got that 11th one. He could have ran it up even more if he really wanted to. But I feel like he was starting to run on fumes, so they took him out when they needed to. Knicks, like you said, came out and did what they needed to do against the Pistons. Mm-hmm. Bojan Bogdanović had a decent game.
Yeah, he did. He had 13 off the bench. He was the leading scorer off the bench.
And
we didn't even mention Dante had 40 points this game. He was the leading scorer.
Right.
Jalen Brunson had 28 points,
yep,
plus 37, highest on the team.
How many minutes did Alec Burks play?
Shake Milton played this game, but Alec Burks was injured.
Oh.
He didn't play this game.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that.
Sprained right shoulder.
This was the first game that he missed.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the Brooklyn game, and he played, you know, the last game that you covered.
Mm-hmm.
Played pretty well in his last few games.
Yeah, he's all right.
So I bring that up to say that, you know, the last time I was here, I said, oh, if you haven't sold your Alec Burks stock, now would be the time to do so. And I was wrong.
Jumping the gun. You jumped the gun.
Yeah. This past Sunday, that was the time that you should have sold, because you sell high. You don't sell when they're at the lowest. You sell high. So he brought his stock up a little bit. Sell. Sell, sell, sell.
Okay.
He should have did it before this Pistons game when he was out. Because now, I don't see it. I don't know if he's out, you know, tonight against the Thunder. And if he remains out up until OG comes back, up against Randall comes back, because we got... you know, we're about to talk about it, Mitchell Robinson back. I'm wondering where the Alec Burks minutes is going to go.
We traded them for depth. The depth that they've given us in this time period where all the guys were injured, they played in those minutes. I mean, played in those games. And they contributed in those games. It's not like the trade was a wash for us, I don't feel like. Because Alec Burks had games, like you just said, where he was contributing. Bojan had more than enough games where he contributed more than the guys that Detroit got back in their trade.
Right.
And I remember you was talking about the Knicks were like one of the worst defensive teams since OG was out.
Yes.
And then they just had their best defensive month of the season.
Yeah, it seems like once OG came back, even when he went back out, the defense... Like, everybody, oh, yeah, that's right. This is how we're supposed to defend.
Yeah, even before he came
so,
back.
So, no.
Yeah, because that was the time that we had three straight games where we held the opponents under 70 points. OG didn't play in none of those games.
Well, I'm going to say that you're wrong.
I'm right.
And those three straight games, who were they against?
We can go back and check real quick.
You go back and check, sir.
Those three games were against Sixers, mm-hmm. and right. Magic.
Okay. So basically three of the worst offensive teams.
Doesn't matter.
In the entire league.
So what? They didn't ever score 70 points against any other team in the NBA.
Who didn't score 70 points?
Both those teams, Orlando and Philly. Orlando's a playoff team in the fifth seed right now.
Orlando
a playoff team too.
Did not have one of their starters in that game.
Ed Powell.
And one of their best shooters in that game. So already they're a bad offensive team, and you take away one of their best offensive players, and you want to tell me that you want to credit
players.
Yeah, because they don't have a lot of good offensive players. That's the fact that you can say Jalen Suggs is one of their best offensive players. Obviously, Paolo is the best,
mm-hmm.
but Jalen Suggs is their best. Is probably their best shooter.
Okay,
so you take him out of what's already a poor shooting team, mm-hmm. and you want me to applaud the. I mean, yes, the Knicks do deserve credit,
mm-hmm.
but you want me to say, oh, yeah, the Knicks defense was good without OG? No.
Well, you want to know what they scored in the very next few games without the same Jalen Suggs that's their best shooter and best scores on their team? It wasn't 74 points. They scored 109 the game before.
Wow, 109.
97, 106, 103, 96, wow. 92, 106, those 107.
Those are all
20 points at least.
Those are all below league average, which is to my point.
All right, so what about the Sixers? The Sixers is below average too, huh?
The Sixers without Joel Embiid?
They're still a playoff team.
Jesus Christ.
Are they not? Anyway. It's not like we're playing the Detroit Pistons. We're not playing like
the point that I'm
the
trying
bottom
to make,
of the league teams.
The point that I was trying to make was that they were one of the worst defensive teams without OG before
mm-hmm.
he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And those games do not prove otherwise. Did they show up defensively for those games? 100%. It's never a question of whether the Knicks could play better defensively, whether OG was on the court or not. We've seen them do it before OG got here.
Mm-hmm.
The point was that they were not playing that way while he was out, for the most part. They weren't.
For a few games.
For the few games that they had that three-game stretch, that was the best defense that they've played the entire stretch.
They had their best defensive month just now in March. It wasn't just a few
games. I was
stretch.
Talking about February when I said that, sir. I know you like to argue, so we're going to keep it pushing. But February was their worst defensive month of the entire season.
Okay.
That's what I said. And that does not change.
It took time to adjust. That's all. You be jumping the gun. It's
you
gotta, okay to
you gotta
it.
Stop caping, bro. Really. Like,
how is it caping?
People are here for the truth, not for your caping.
Okay.
Anyway, Boyan had a decent game. Gotta give him his props for that because he was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He has been struggling. And, you know, if you want to do a quick trade recap, best piece that the Pistons got was Quentin Grimes. The best piece that the Knicks got were Alec. Well, the only pieces that they got were Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanović. Knicks gave up a pick, and I said you could argue that Quentin Grimes was the best piece in the entire trade. You disagreed. Neither Alec Burks or Bojan has had a consistent positive effect on the Knicks. Quentin Grimes has been struggling, so we can call it a wash if you want to look at it that way.
I'm not calling
it
a wash.
You could say we have to wait to see what the Knicks turn Bojan Bogdanović or Alec Burks into.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could say we can wait to see what Quentin Grimes is next season with a full season of play with the Detroit Pistons.
I'm going to say one last thing and then we could just get off this topic.
That it wasn't a good trade for the Knicks?
No, I'm going to say that the best piece allegedly in this trade, Quentin Grimes, who hasn't scored consistently for Detroit in the games that he has played, and then he hasn't been healthy enough to play at all in Detroit. So I feel like the best piece that they really got was Malachi Flynn so far. So that's why I'm not calling this trade a wash. I feel like what the Knicks got is depth, playoff rotation pieces that they can rely on. In case of an emergency, trading Quentin Grimes was also because of the fact that we have Dante DiVincenzo as our starter now, so it kind of made Quentin Grimes expendable. We see Miles McBride stepping his game up and elevating to another level. he's almost playing just as good as Quentin Grimes offensively. Mm-hmm. And the only difference is that Quentin Grimes would have a lot more shooting opportunities and he would get high scoring games like 36 points occasionally. But Deuce McBride has been able to play elite level defense, knock down open shots. Dante DiVincenzo has proved to be the best shooter on the team. So those two players right there are also factors in this trade, in my opinion, so that
those two players would have been on the team regardless of the trade.
But it opened up more minutes for them.
My biggest retort to what you had to say is that your biggest point is that they are depth pieces for playoffs,
mm-hmm.
which means that we have to see if they're actually going to be a part of the rotation in the playoffs as depth pieces for your point to be valid, which you cannot say at this point is a certainty. I cannot say that this point is a certainty. I can't say that they won't be a part of it because obviously OG Anunoby still has lingering issues.
Right.
Julius Randle hasn't stepped foot on the court yet.
Right.
And Precious Achiuwa has not been as consistent as he was in the first few weeks that he was a part of this team.
He's playing less minutes.
But this is not a knock it out of the park win, which a lot of people were saying that it was when the trade happened. Can't say it's a great trade so far, which my brother French has proclaimed loudly. And we kind of have to wait to see if this is a good trade for the Knicks. Like, you know, I was so-so on it, and so far my so-so has been accurate. Speaking of the other part of your point, Deuce McBride. Knicks played the Toronto Raptors in Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena on March 27th, 7:30 p.m. We got back Mitchell Robinson, as I said earlier in the episode of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Came off the bench. Deuce McBride, who has been starting next to Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson, came out like he was trying to end that Dante DiVincenzo single game, three-point record in the very next game.
Yeah.
Raptors still missing the best four players, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, Scottie Barnes, and Jakob Poeltl. So obviously, this is not the Toronto Raptors that the Knicks would normally have to fear in a regular season. And the Knicks came out and did what they had to do. Deuce came out, knocked down six threes in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, he could have 12 by halftime.
He wasn't missing.
And, you know, there's not really much to say. Like, you come out like that, and the Knicks were not playing around. And I just think that it needs to be noted that they're doing what they need to do against depleted teams, which was my big thing when they had to play against the Grizzlies that one game. And it was like, I can't play like this. This is not the way they played against the Pistons and the Raptors. I don't have to see that type of game where they come out and they're motivated to play and they blowing them out by 20 plus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to see that type of game, but I just need to see the requisite effort and whatever. And maybe it doesn't have to be a wire-to-wire victory, but you have to show throughout the game that you are clearly the better team. You have the best player on the court. You have the best rotation out of the two. There should be no reason for me to worry that you're going to win this game against teams like that. Yes, they're NBA players. Yes, this is an NBA team. But this is an NBA team that is working far below you are at this point in time. You have to go out there and show that in some degree. And they did that against the Raptors. They did that against the Pistons. The Knicks beat the Pistons 124-99. The Knicks beat the Raptors 145-101. Both games, they showed how good they can be defensively in both of these games, keeping them around that 100-point mark. And, there's not really much I got to say about this one. What about you, French?
I mean, it was a wire-to-wire ass-whooping.
Second straight
one. The Toronto Raptors at home couldn't really match up with, I mean, the Knicks are just one of the best teams in the East. So you have to be on top of your game and you have to be completely healthy for the most part to be able to be in a competitive game with the Knicks. And if there was like a stat that I saw earlier this week where the Knicks I believe it was during the game, whenever they lead by 10 points, their record is like 26-3 or something crazy like that. So once the Knicks basically get a 10 to 15 point lead, the game is over.
Yep.
And once they went up by 20 and then 30 and then eventually 40 points, it was just like, this team is just on another level. The Raptors look like they kind of gave up a little bit, but there's not much to really take away from this game. We could move on to the next one if you want to.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the next game, the Knicks went off to San Antonio to face off against Victor Wembanyama one more time. If you remember the last time he came to the Garden, the Knicks won that game pretty easily. And this game was vastly different from that game that we saw in the Garden earlier this season.
Vastly.
Mainly due to the fact that Victor Wembanyama played with an entirely different level of assertiveness, a different level of aggression this game compared to the last game that he played where the fans was booing him, calling him overrated. Mm-hmm. They let him have it. And we were at that game too. So,
yeah,
the energy in that building was different. He seemed like he was a little rattled by it, but back home in San Antonio, he was completely healthy. The Spurs went off to an early 21-point lead behind some early three-pointers. The Knicks played some poor defense. I would think that they just came out to this game assuming that the Spurs are one of the worst teams. They were going to come in and just beat them out just like they did in the previous two games against the Raptors and the the Pistons. And basically, after the Spurs ran up that score, the Knicks came back and started to fight. The Knicks stormed back in the third quarter behind Jalen Brunson's 24 points in the quarter alone. It was a back-and-forth rock fight kind of game. It kind of had, like, playoff intensity to it later in the fourth quarter because every basket was kind of hard to come by. The Knicks came back and tied the game, took the lead, and San Antonio went on another run, went on a good run to get them a 10-point lead. Knicks went on another run, tied the game, and then all the while, Jalen Brunson's just going crazy. He dropped 50 points, then to get closer to overtime, he keeps hitting shots, not getting any calls. The San Antonio Spurs are getting every single call. It's just like the free throw disparity in this game alone was just crazy, especially in the later half of this game.
About 20 free throw difference.
Every call seemed to be going towards San Antonio, and they really wanted them to win this game. The Knicks were huge favorites coming into this game. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, connect the context clues because these refs is on payroll. I'm not going to get in trouble for saying it. But, yeah, Hartenstein fouled out of this game. Like, bro, if you've seen the types of calls that they're calling, like, they move in Wemby, and because Wemby is small and skinny, not small and skinny, but he's so small in girth and weight compared to, like, Pauls, compared to, like, Hartenstein and these other centers, especially, like, Mitch. They putting their elbow on him, moving him out the way, and they calling a foul. But Vic runs into Brunson coming down court, and there's no call. It's just like, bro, I don't get it. Brunson's getting hit every time he goes to the paint, scored 61 points this game,
yep,
and did not have over 7 free throws, which is he's the first player in NBA history to do that since the NBA merger.
Yep.
Crazy to think about because everybody who scores 50, 60 points, you would automatically assume that they're getting a bunch of shots on the free throw line. These were all mid-range buckets, layups, over someone who's 7'3", possibly 7'4". Like,
he's listed as 7'4".
Like, bro, it's literally Jalen Brunson and Victor duking it out in the fourth quarter in overtime. Victor Wembanyama finished his game with 40 points, 20 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. And it took all that to beat the Knicks in overtime in San Antonio. Jalen Brunson, like I said, he had 61 points, 1 point shy of Melo's Knick record. And I was pissed off when he didn't break it and they lost this game. But I'm just like, Jalen Brunson's in his prime. He's going to get 60 again.
Yep.
He just had 50 for the first time just a month and a half ago against Phoenix. And he did it again in this game and then finished the game with 61. I feel like he can finish this season again with another 60-point game, even though there's only a few weeks left. The way that he gets his baskets, it's been the same since the very first time that he stepped on the Garden floor. And he's only becoming more and more efficient. He only missed how many shots this game? Let's see. Hold on. Give me one second.
He took a lot of shots.
He took at least 47 shots.
Yep.
And made 25 of them. He could have been more efficient, but these are all mid-range shots for the most part. That's contested. Not getting any foul calls on him. He only took 6 free throws this game, which is the most on the Knicks. The Knicks only took 12 free throws as a team, while the San Antonio Spurs got 32. Victor Wembanyama took 12 free throws. Like, I don't like blaming the referees, but I feel like they had way too much of an impact on this game here. And Mitchell Robinson looked like he tweaked his ankle again. He looked like he got hurt this game after Hartenstein fouled out. Mitch had to come in the overtime and play, and he just doesn't look like he's ready to be on the court full time. So I didn't really leave this game with a lot of good feelings. It was a tough game to finish the night out, especially after OT. This is the first game we had in overtime all year, mm-hmm. and for it to be coming to a loss to a 18-56 team, it wasn't a good night. But it was a great game to watch, though. It felt like a playoff game.
This game had you hot, huh?
Yeah, it did.
You said a lot of things that I was just like.
I was supposed to get on 2K after this game, and I couldn't. I had to just go to sleep.
It's like, I don't know if I would have. Phrase some of the things you said like that, but whatever.
they was duking it out. What you want me to say? They duked it out.
Please stop.
Vic and Brunson going crazy.
And I don't
crazy.
Never need to hear about Victor Wembanyama's girth ever again. All right?
He's not girthy. Mitch is girthy. Look how big Mitch is. He like a calm 250. Vic is like 180. He don't got no, like, bro, I could probably body slam Victor, and he's
just
over
make sure to tell
two
your friends.
Feet taller than me.
Tell your friends not to watch this episode.
They're gonna have a blast with this episode.
All right, so here's my comeback. Pause.
I see where your mind at today.
Listen, you got it started, bro. First thing I'm gonna say, the Knicks came out with poor effort.
Okay.
The biggest lead in this game. If I told you before the game, yeah, the biggest lead in this game is going to be 21. Before the game, you would think, oh, yeah, that was the Knicks ran it up mm-hmm. like they supposed to. No. Second quarter, the San Antonio Spurs were beating the Knicks by 21 points.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
I knew they would come back, though.
Yes. But that goes to show that the Knicks did not come out to play. They came back, as they always do, as we expect them to do. Mm-hmm. But one, you shouldn't be down 21 to the San Antonio Spurs. Number two, I agree with you that the foul call disparity was a lot to overcome. With that being said, I did take it upon myself to look at a 2-minute report after this game because I wanted to see a couple things, whether there was an explanation for the overtime Mitchell Robinson jump ball call. I don't know if you mentioned it, if you referenced it, but in overtime,
one of the many bad calls.
Well, they did the 2-minute report and they said that was a good call. And they said it was a good call, not because Mitch jumped early. It was because he tapped the ball while the ball was still on the way up prior to the apex.
How many times have we seen that in the NBA game?
Correct. But that is the correct call. So whether you want to say they chose the wrong time to make a good call, okay. But there were other things in that 2-minute report where I was just like, huh, it looks like actually in this overtime period, the Knicks benefited more from the whistle than the San Antonio Spurs. And they still were within 2 points. And still, with that benefit, they had the opportunity to either win or take it into the second overtime.
Yeah, but what they're not talking about on paper is how, you know, how what it, you said it was a good call because he went up early. You know what else would have been a good call? A technical foul on Popovich when he's screaming at the ref all in his ear for like 10 minutes straight to end the fourth quarter.
Technicals are at the referee's discretion.
Yeah.
And apparently, so is
that call.
You can yell as much as you want. There are certain things that you cannot do. If the ref tells you to stop and you don't stop, which the referee didn't seem to say stop, just to pop. So you can't just be like, all right, you're yelling. All right, no. That would be emotional. Unless Pop says something outlandish.
I read lips. He was talking crazy.
Which we are not there. You know, you could read lips and, you know.
And he's being held back by all the coaching staff. Like, they making a whole scene out of it, and they just walking away.
The coaching staff did what they were supposed to do.
But they calling jump balls.
At the end of the day, the referee...
is on payroll.
The referees coached... I mean, excuse me, not coached. Referees...
were coached.
Refed a good overtime. Whether we can debate the whole other four quarters. But the last 2 minutes of overtime... mm-hmm. The Knicks had the advantage, and they did not take advantage of it. And the one time where it was like, all right, you have the chance to win or to send it in overtime was the Jalen Brunson miss from three, mm-hmm. where Precious Achiuwa was out on the court because Mitchell Robinson had reached his 20-minute time limit, and Isaiah Hartenstein fouled out in the fourth quarter, and Precious Achiuwa was in position to grab the rebound and did grab the rebound. And... fumbled the pass in between Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, which he grabs the rebound, he takes it to the hole, or he holds on to it until somebody can get the ball from him. Now we're not talking about a loss. Now we're not talking about the refs, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to point it out. Precious Achiuwa, minus 30 in 15 minutes or 16 minutes. Bojan Bogdanović coming off of a decent game. 4 points. Minus 16 in 15 minutes. This game was lost by the bench, bro. Sorry to say. I had some quibbles with Josh Hart. You know, he went 4 for 10. I had some quibbles that, okay, coming off of a... I forgot what Deuce had against the Raptors, but coming off of that, scoring onslaught, and you can't crack double digits against the San Antonio Spurs. He had the opportunity to actually put this game away at the end of the, you know, which, whatever. It's a pressure situation. He was open. We were expecting Brunson to shoot the ball. The Spurs did what they had to do to get it out of his hands. He got it to Deuce. Deuce could have put it away with a three. The Knicks had multiple opportunities to win this game, and all were opportunities that probably... you know, if they start this game off the same way that they started the second half off, we're talking about a Knicks victory. The Knicks had the opportunity to win. I can't put it on the refs. Did the refs make some, were they generous with the whistle when it came to Victor Wembanyama? Absolutely. Could they have been a little bit more even when it came to Jalen Brunson? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I can't blame anybody but the Knicks for this loss. When I look at all of this, when I look at the calls in the last 2 minutes of overtime, when I look at the fact that the Knicks had multiple opportunities to take the lead at the end of the game, when I look at the fact that the Knicks had the opportunity to win the game at the end of the regulation, and when I look at the fact that they started off as poorly as they did and went down by 21 points, sorry, bro. As much as I can say, yeah, the refs had an impact on this game, they were not the biggest reason for the loss.
The only reason I disagree is because they came back, took the lead. And
yeah,
I'm not mad at Deuce McBride for missing the shot. I'm not mad at anyone for not scoring down the stretch, even though they should be able to knock down an open shot. But it is the fact that Brunson had 50 shots and nobody's expecting to even shoot at that point because they expected him to just bring it home and he wasn't able to.
To be fair, I'm not mad at anybody else either. But once you get to close to 50 shots in a game, you can expect for him to start missing towards the end of the game, which he did. He missed... his percentage went down as a result of the fourth quarter and overtime because of how many shots he scored 22 points or something like that in the third quarter alone. Mm-hmm. And he scored double digit points in every quarter of regulation. The only quarter that he didn't score double digits was in an overtime. So while you're correct, yeah, he's the one scoring 60. Okay. That means that the rest of y'all should be fresh. And if you're open, you better hit that shot. To me.
Well, they're not fresh because they still got to play defense, which is what helped them come back in the first place. Like, it wasn't all just about who was scoring. It was also about who was playing defense. And Miles McBride, He went 3-for-9 from this game, but he had an incredible impact defensively on this game.
Okay, but nobody was playing defense in that first quarter, which is why they went down by 21, which means that I don't want to hear it.
I'm not saying that they played a flawless game, but that happens sometimes. If you're going against an 18 or 17-win team, you're probably not going to come out with the most intensity. You came out with the most intensity against Detroit because you faced them earlier a few weeks ago, and they almost beat us at home. So that this time when they faced off against Detroit, they played with the intensity that they needed to.
It was also
even though there was no K, there was no main options.
Right.
They came out against Toronto. They played all these third string guys and they killed them. This isn't the same kind of cast. This is the same. This is the rookie of the year. He had 40 points, 20 rebounds, and 7 assists. I keep repeating that because that's 2K numbers. That's not you're not going to see that every day. He was hitting every free throw down the stretch. Mm-hmm. He had a superstar performance to beat this team. Devin Vassell was hitting clutch shots, and they played an outstanding game, and they just the Spurs wore out the Knicks.
The Spurs stepped up. The Knicks started off.
The refs didn't help at all either.
The Spurs stepped up. The Knicks started off not playing the way that they should have played, and the refs were slightly egregious with the whistle in the first four quarters. All of those things have led to a Knicks loss. And the worst thing about all of that is that the Knicks should not have started off the way that they did, to me, out of all those things. Right? So, yeah, let's move on from that. Let's go into the next topic of the week where we are going to predict the playoff seeding after the next 9 games. There's only 9 games left. There's only 9 games left, y'all. 9 games left in the regular season. At this moment, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the 3 seed. The Knicks are the 4 seed, and the Orlando Magic are the 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland Cavaliers are 45-29, and they play the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, tonight. They still have to play against the Phoenix Suns, the LA Lakers, the LA Clippers. That's 2 games in a row that they'll be playing those two Los Angeles teams. And the Indiana Pacers left on the schedule. They cannot tie with the Knicks, because if they tie with the Knicks will get the seed.
Yep, because we beat them already this year.
Because the Knicks have the head-to-head advantage. The New York Knicks are 44-29. And they also play the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks still have to play the Boston Celtics,
who are probably going to be resting all their players at that point in the season.
Hopefully.
They got the number one seed clinched, and that's like 2 games left in the regular season. I don't think Tatum's and all them guys are going to be playing.
I sincerely hope so.
Why would
Because that would be beneficial to the Knicks. Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the Miami Heat and the Sacramento Kings left on the schedule.
Yeah.
Those are the toughest four teams. I'm listening to tough.
Out for the season. My fault, go ahead.
Come on now.
I like previews. Jumping the gun too, my fault.
Knicks cannot tie with the Orlando Magic
mm-hmm.
because the Magic have the head-to-head matchup with the Knicks.
Yeah, they do.
The Orlando Magic are 43-31.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the New Orleans Pelicans, the Milwaukee Bucks twice, and the Philadelphia 76ers on the schedule. Easily, they have out of these three teams, the easiest schedule left, but they also have the most losses, and so that means that they have to catch up to the Knicks and the Cavs.
And they still don't have Jalen Suggs.
A 3-way tie scenario with the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers would benefit the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
Because they are the only division leader out of the 3 teams. So, French, the bro host, who do you predict is coming away with the 3 seed?
The Knicks. They just had the 3 seed last game. If they didn't lose to the Spurs, they would still be the 3 seed right now.
Yes.
They're a better team than Cleveland and Magic. They can win all 3 of these games against the Celtics, Bucks, and Heat. The Kings lost Malik Monk for the season. We already killed them at home. Not killed them, but we beat them at home. And I'm not afraid of Sacramento. They're worse than they were last year. And they just got even worse without Malik Monk off the bench. I realistically still see us possibly competing for the 2 seed. So, yeah. I called it at the beginning of the season. Remember that? Top 3 seed, 50 wins.
Right.
I'm standing on it. Come on, let's talk about that. And the fact that Orlando's not going to be a threat, and neither is Miami neither is. Cleveland neither is any of these teams in the East. I feel like we're the second best team in the conference.
So just to clarify, the Milwaukee Bucks currently have a 47-27 record.
Mm-hmm.
Two less losses than the Knicks. Three more wins than the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee Bucks are in control of their destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quickly run through their next eight games. They play the Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, Knicks, Celtics, Magic, Thunder, Magic. Only way that I see the Bucks falling is if the Magic win both of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Magic win both of their games, then that puts them into a tighter circle with the Knicks, which will still make it difficult for the Knicks to get the two seed.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I don't see it. This seems to be like an easy schedule for an easier schedule for the Bucks, especially they got the Wizards, the Grizzlies, the Raptors. All three of those teams are missing important players, or they're just completely bad. You said the Celtics are going to be resting against the Knicks, which means the Celtics are going to be resting against the Bucks. So I don't see the Bucks losing enough games for the Knicks to catch up to them.
Wait, I just disagree with the whole, if Orlando wins two games, then it makes it harder for the Knicks to win a two seed, because the Bucks could win those two games against the Bucks and still be the fourth seed and fifth seed.
The Magic can win the two games against the Bucks and what?
Still be the fourth or fifth seed.
Well, they would have to lose other games. What other games do you see the Magic losing?
I mean,
the Magic have a cake schedule, bro. So you kind of have to hope that the Bucks beat the Magic so that you could get the three seed. And if the Bucks just completely collapse and the Magic win out, the Knicks have to win out too.
So you think
the Magic are disadvantaged, right? The mm-hmm. Knicks out of all of these teams absolutely have have more control over their destiny to get to the three seed.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have control over their destiny to get to the two seed. And if the Bucks fall out like that, that means they probably are going to lose twice to the Magic. The Magic probably could have the best record out of all of these teams for the rest of the season and still finish fourth or fifth. And yeah, that doesn't necessarily, I'm not really looking to that two seed. I'm really looking to that three seed. I'm not looking for the Bucks to fall because they still have two games against the Magic, and the Magic is a team that we have to hope loses because they beat us more than we've beat them.
I feel like they don't even have to lose both games today. They could split to the Magic and we could still have a chance for the two seed because they still got to play OKC.
Okay, but if
they can lose to us, they can lose to any to any of these bad teams, the Raptors, Grizzlies, Wizards. I mean, it's not likely, but they just lost to the Lakers. They just, like, bro, they can be beat. I don't fear any team in the East, and I feel like the two seed is up for grabs.
We're not talking about a head-to-head matchup with the Bucks, okay? We're talking about what is likely for the Bucks to do. I'm not looking at the Bucks to lose against the Wizards, the Grizzlies, and the Raptors. Maybe they'll lose against
all three.
Maybe they lose one, but that's not enough. They have to
OKC,
lose.
They have Orlando to, Knicks.
They have to lose at the very least. What did I say that their record was?
There's plenty of games that they can lose on this last stretch.
They have to lose two more games than the Knicks lose.
Okay.
Do you see the Bucks losing
two
more games with the schedule that I just read to you?
Yes.
Than the New York Knicks.
There's realistically only two losses that I see the Knicks having for the rest of the season.
Okay. And they are?
They are... possibly,
as he goes to look at the games again.
No, because I had it in my head already. Even if we were to lose to Miami and OKC, the next two games, every game after that, we can win. Every single one of them. In my view, I think the Celtics are not going to be playing any starters at 11th of April. With two games left in the season,
so my question
before
to
the
you
playoffs,
is,
I think the Bulls are not a match. We play them twice. We're going to beat the Nets. Mm-hmm. We can beat the Bucks. We beat them last time we played them. We played the Bulls three times, actually.
The last time that we played the Bucks, we had...
Christmas.
We had...
no OG.
A back-to-back Christmas and whatever, 2 days later game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to beat the same team two games in a row.
Okay.
I don't see us beating the Bucks with no OG.
Why wouldn't we have OG at this point? The 7th of April. We could have OG back by that time.
We could.
At that point.
We could.
We could have Mitch back. We could have Randall back. Like,
right. He could.
That's what I'm saying. This last stretch of the games, I don't see the Knicks losing.
It all depends on
more
how,
than two games.
It all depends on how healthy we are. Remember, we just lost to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
We lost. Anomaly. We don't play teams with stretch fives all that well. And the Milwaukee Bucks do employ such a player.
And does Kenny go for 40
and
20?
They also have a MVP candidate in Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I don't think it's easy. Yes, can we beat the Bucks? 100%. I'm not talking about whether they can, right? What is the most likely scenario? Is it most likely scenario that the Knicks are going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that they've only beat one time this year, and we've played them, and this will be the fifth time we've played them this year?
I'm not willing.
Right. We need a healthy roster. If we have a healthy roster, I'm picking Knicks all day. I don't know if we'll have a healthy roster. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Julius Randle. Hopefully Julius Randle is available, right? But if he's available, I'm not expecting him to be able to play fully. Full strength. Hopefully we have OG Anunoby. Right this second, I'm not willing to say that the Knicks are going to win that game. Can they? Yes. This is not an argument about can, because the Bucks could win out for the rest of the season too.
So let me ask you this.
Right.
They lose that game against the Bucks.
Right.
Who else would you predict we lose to in this last stretch?
So
genuinely that you can believe, not just it's a chance. Who you feel like they genuinely could lose to in this last stretch?
I genuinely believe that they could lose to the Bulls. I'm still picking the Knicks to win. They could lose to the Bulls. And obviously, if Boston decides, we're gonna throw our guys out there and then we're gonna go up by 20 and then we're gonna rest. If the Celtics decide that they can do that, they can afford to do that. The Celtics obviously can do that against the Knicks because they've done it all year.
Celtics have clinched the number one seed in their 10 games over.
Have they started resting their players yet?
But at this point in the season, I'm saying they will be resting. There's only 3 games left in the season. They're not going to play all their starters every game.
When they start doing that, then I'm going to call it a Knicks victory.
Okay. So
until they do, I'm going to say.
So you say the Bulls, the Celtics, and the Bucks. That's your 3?
Yes.
All right, bud.
Okay. I don't think, I think that's all they need to lose, though. They only need to lose 3, mm-hmm. and they could still clinch. Because I don't see the Cleveland Cavaliers losing less than 3, if you get my drift.
I feel like it's crazy you picked the Bulls before the Thunder.
Well, I was excluding the Thunder because that game is tonight. That game will already have been played by the time this episode comes out. I do think that the Knicks can win tonight. And speaking of which, let's actually just run right into that since we're talking about it. Let's go into the previews.
Okay.
Knicks versus Oklahoma City Thunder today, okay. March 31st.
You contradicted yourself. How can you feel like the Thunder have a better chance to lose to us than the Bucks when they both have a stretch 5
and
go for 40?
Why don't you start your preview, sir? And then we can talk about it.
I'm stuck on it, but my fault. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was runner-up for MVP candidate this year, possibly. He's averaging the most points in the NBA. Yep. He's on the second-best team in the West, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He's doubtful for this game. OKC's record at this time is a 51-22 record in the Western Conference.
Yep.
And they have a guy who's going to be maybe runner-up for Rookie of the Year also in Chet. If it wasn't for Victor Wembanyama, he would be the clear-cut favorite. But this is going to be a tough game. The last time the Knicks played OKC, they were in Oklahoma City. They got beat. That was the game that Tibbs put R.J. Barrett in the game for Emmanuel Quickly, I believe, and caused an uproar because we just didn't have any size. Now we got size, hopefully.
Just to note, he has been, in the last 2 hours, upgraded to questionable.
SGA?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Knicks is probably going to have their hands full tonight if he plays, but there's not going to be an OG Anunoby for this game. There's no Julius Randle. Mitch is questionable, so... I could see the Knicks winning this game just because they lost to San Antonio last game. They're not going to come out playing like sloppy sets and turning the ball over and letting guys get wide open shots. They're going to approach this game with the intensity that they need to. So I think the Knicks are going to win this game. And they're at home, have the crowd behind them. They lost to OKC once already this year. I could be lying, but I don't think any team has swept it so far this year. Only team that we haven't beaten is Boston. But, yeah, I don't think we've been swept by any team so far this year.
I believe you're incorrect with that, but I'll check. It's funny because...
New Orleans. New Orleans swept us.
Yes. New Orleans did sweep us. It's funny because I actually picked this game as the most difficult choice of the week out of the games that I think that the Knicks are going to either win or lose. Mm. As you said, on the one hand, Knicks are coming off of an overtime game and travel situation while the Thunder are a matchup problem, even without SGA. On the other hand, the Knicks usually rise after tough losses, which is what you just implied. They're going to come out trying to win after a loss. This is tough. This is tough. And really, the SGA news is the determining factor. I think the Knicks can win if SGA doesn't play. If he does play, that makes it a little bit more difficult. It seems like he's on track to play with being upgraded from doubtful to questionable. If SGA comes out and he's SGA, Knicks are going to lose. But I'm going to say the Knicks are going to win this one.
OKC also is playing for something, too. I didn't realize. Yeah. They're tied for the 100%. Number one seed. They're not the second seed. They got a 51-22 record, which is the same as Minnesota.
Yep.
Denver's right behind them with 51-23.
Yep.
So.
They're playing for that number one seed,
mm-hmm.
and they want to win. They don't need to win, which I think is, that's the saving grace. Like, they can afford to lose to the Knicks and still end up as that number one seed, but that doesn't mean that they're just going to give the game away.
Yeah.
So, next up, Knicks at Miami against the Miami Heat at the Kaseya Center. Heat have been dealing with numerous injuries, although they may show up to the Garden the healthiest.
They changed the name of their arena?
I guess so.
What was it before?
I have no idea.
It wasn't like some...
Listen, I don't care. I don't care. They may show up to the Garden the healthiest that they've been for a while. Caleb Martin, Tyler Herro, Duncan Robinson, and Nikola Jovic all have a chance to play against the Knicks. Heat are 40-33, and they are desperate to get to the sixth seed where Indiana is. So... they are also playing for something. What was it called?
They need to be playing to get the American Airlines name back for their arena because I don't like that name.
I think isn't something else the American Airlines arena now? There's some other team might have probably. The American Airlines.
See, it just sound nasty though. It sounds like they play hopscotch or some shit in there, not basketball.
Yeah,
tennis.
It's not a. Oh yeah,
it's like a spa. Dallas
American Airlines is. Is in Dallas now. Dallas is Dallas Mavericks arena. But anyway.
So what was the Mavericks arena name before? Now I'm invested. Hold on. Keep talking. I'm going to just look this up.
So the Heat are also desperate for wins, but the Knicks can't afford to lose to the Heat. They need this game for a chance at the 3 seed, which the Knicks, I believe, want. I don't think that they want to get in that 4-5 spot. I do believe they want that 3 seed, regardless of who's playing. So I'm going to call this a Knicks W. What about you, French?
The Knicks, they match up well with Miami, I believe. I feel like Miami's worse than they were last year. They had a lot of luck in the playoffs, mainly due to health, I feel like, and the way that they just played dirty. And this late in the season, they are going to be playing for something, but I feel like the Knicks are playing for something too. They don't like Miami. Miami doesn't like them. This is going to be a dogfight again, but I do see the Knicks winning this game. It's tough because it's in Miami. And they desperate. They desperate. I hate counting Miami out, and I hate saying that they could win, and that's the only reason why I'm picking the Knicks. because I just know that this is going to be an ugly game, low-scoring game.
Yep.
And
Knicks are going to have the best player on the court, though.
For sure they are. And hopefully we have players back. So I'm a predict that the Knicks are going to win this game.
Okay. What's next?
Next game at MSG. The Knicks are going to be playing the Sacramento Kings. The Kings just lost Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, like I mentioned earlier. They lost two games in a row to the Mavs coming into this game. So the Knicks, I believe, are going to take this game as well. I like I said earlier, I don't have much faith in the Kings like I did last year. The Kings were like an exciting team to watch last year. They had a little continuity going. I like the pairing of Fox and Malik Monk. They played together in Kentucky, and they just have that chemistry going on the Kings as well. Now that Monk is gone, Fox is going to be alone with Sabonis trying to make up for all the offense, I believe. And Hurt is a shooter, too. He's going to hurt them by the fact that he's just not going to be out there being able to help them just stay in the game, because you know Dante DiVincenzo is going to be shooting threes. Deuce McBride could get hot from three. Brunson could go off for six threes at any point. And I don't know if the Kings has the shooting to keep up with the Knicks if they're hot. So,
well,
the Knicks are going to win this game.
Knicks can't afford to lose this one either. This is going to be one of the tougher games. But as you noted, Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, those are two important pieces for the Sacramento Kings. They're going to be out. And last time these two played, the Knicks won. Knicks shut down Domantas Sabonis, who is currently number six on NBA's MVP ladder.
They have them scoreless in that fourth quarter.
Right. And Jalen Brunson is not even in the top 10 on that ladder. Go figure that one out. The Knicks are going to win. I don't see, unless something happens in these next few games that really makes a difference for the Knicks in terms of health, in terms of injuries. The Knicks know what they have to do. They know that the Kings are not a team that they can take advantage of or take for granted. None of these three teams that we've mentioned are. So they should show out. And, lastly, Knicks are going to play the Chicago Bulls. These are back-to-back games, I should note. Sacramento Kings is the first game of the back-to-back. Chicago Bulls are the second game of the back-to-back, which is why I said I could see the Knicks losing to the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. Bulls are 35-39. They don't have a realistic chance at eighth. With that being said, they are playing for something. Atlanta is right on their heels. They probably would like to play against Atlanta at home in the play-in. And, we'll be in Chicago at the United Center. There's no travel advantage for the Knicks on that second half of a back-to-back. I meant to look up if the Chicago Bulls are also playing on a back-to-back, because that may change my opinion on who's going to win. But, they are... What can I say about the Bulls? They're confusing, bro. They beat the Pacers, but then in the very next game, lost to the Brooklyn Nets, which... I don't know. I don't know what to make of them. It's not going to be easy. Bulls have Alex Caruso. They still got DeMar DeRozan. They got Kobe White. They got Ayo Dosunmu. They are
going to get their ass kicked. It's not going to be a race. They're going to win this game.
Right. Well,
they had DeRozan. He went off last time we played them, and they didn't have a chance. Well, and that was with Randall. So. I think
they are going to have the benefit of they are going to be very well rested. They have a back to back. They play today against Timberwolves. They play tomorrow against the Atlanta Hawks. I got to root for them to beat the Hawks tomorrow, because then maybe they show up Friday, because that's their next game after tomorrow. They're gonna have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off, while the Knicks are going to be on the second half of the back to back. So, with that being said,
they could start off sluggish.
It's going to be tough.
It's not going to be tough. It's Chicago.
It's going to be tough if we still don't have OG, if Mitch's ankle is still, feeling a little creaky.
So if we get the ball back.
And if Julius Randle ain't ain't no closer to being back.
So if we get them, if we get Randall, not Randall, if we get Mitch and
if we get two
OG back,
if we get one out of the three, I think I'll call this victory. But if we are, I shouldn't say one out of three. If we get Mitch and one of the other two guys, I'm willing to call it a Knicks victory. And I shouldn't say willing. I'm gonna call it a Knicks victory. But if it's just Mitch out there, I think it's gonna be just too tough because you're counting on Brunson to shore up that offensive load unless Deuce has one of those nights, unless Dante has one of those nights, unless Josh Hart has one of those nights.
Which is possible.
Which are all possible, but you can't guarantee any of them.
I think even if Brunson doesn't play, we still taking this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it a loss, which in the middle of the week, you know, if you see me on Twitter the day before calling the Knicks victory, there's gonna be a reason why. But as it stands now, with all the rest that the Bulls have, with how well that they can play, with all of those guys, with the Knicks being on the second half of back-to-back, I just think it's just too much for them. So I'm going to call that a Bulls victory.
We'll see.
So, but listen, you called a victory for every game this week.
Yes, sir.
And I only called one loss. So anything less than 3-1 this week is going to be a disappointment for both of us. That's all I got. You got anything, French?
Nah, we could get to these games. I'm looking forward to that OKC game tonight. I ain't going to lie.
Right.
I want to see what that game looks like.
All right, so
with no further ado, we'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace, y'all.
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't